KALW.
From KALW News in San Francisco, this is Cross Currents. Context, culture, and connection from around the Bay Area.
I live in Nopa.
I'm from Pittsburgh.
I live in Ingleside.
I live in Sausalito.
I live in the East Bay, Hercules, California, USA, planet Earth.
Coming up, stories of abuse or serious neglect in nursing homes make headlines, but patients and consumer advocates are also trying to bring attention to systemic issues.
It's more about the rottenness of the entire system as opposed to a couple of really malicious bad apples.
Nursing home patients and advocates, along with some legislators, are pushing for a better senior care system. We'll hear what's worked and what isn't working.
We shouldn't have a for-profit healthcare system. It doesn't work. You're always going to be answerable to your investors and to your own pocket and not to the residents that you're serving.
Stay tuned. Cross Currents is coming up. Seniors in the Bay Area and their families face a growing shortage of quality nursing home care. Advocates say that when things go wrong, nursing home patients and their families need to speak up, to file appeals, and to get help. In the long run, state reinvestment in senior programs could help close the gaps in senior care. KALW's Laura Wenis has been reporting on nursing home care this week. She found that patients and their families must turn to advocacy groups and raise their own voices.
Just one big hug from you makes her life sunny.
That's Lori Young singing at Stagebridge, a theater company for older adults. Many of the songs she sings have a high sentimental value for her.
Make it happen. Okay. I'm not an admin person.
Okay, so we meet at the Oakland Library, one of the places where Young finds and copies sheet music. This is part of her effort to preserve a legacy for her grandchildren, a musical legacy. She takes well-known music and writes new lyrics to it. Sometimes it's parody, sometimes it's just a new idea set to an old tune. The song you just heard is called Show Mom You Love Her Each Day, set to a relatively unknown Frank Sinatra tune.
In Chinese, the grandmother is called Paw Paw. And I have written lyrics to the tune of I Will. It's about your pawpaw loves you. And that's so that my grandchildren will know it. And it's important for my grandchildren to know that there's music besides Itsy Bitsy Spider and the wheels on the bus go round and round. There's wonderful music that they'd never hear if I wasn't going to play it or introduce it to them.
We take the elevator to the second floor to talk. She's using a wheelchair. Not one with big wheels she can grab, but one with small wheels at the bottom and bars at her back, meant for someone else to push her. She's not being pushed, though. She's walking herself along with her feet while seated. Young says she suffered two strokes in rapid succession in 2012 and went through a lengthy recovery process. Then, nearly 2 months ago, at age 71, she says she fractured her pelvis in a fall.
It was excruciating pain. It was 10 times worse than childbirth. Every little bitty baby step I took, I was screaming.
Young tells me after her third visit to the emergency room, she was sent to a nursing home, the Rehabilitation Center of Oakland, to recover. This is the most common way for someone to be admitted to a nursing home. Young tells me her experience was mostly negative. She says she couldn't receive cell phone calls, and that calls to a landline provided to her weren't patched through. She loves good food and cooking, and describes eating lukewarm, mediocre meals. And she says a few times when patients would go out to the parking lot to smoke, she felt unsafe.
2 days in a row, the person watching people in the parking lot had left and didn't come back. The second day she did this, I was rolling backwards in the parking lot and wasn't able to stop because I didn't know how to put the brakes on. I waited, no one came. Finally, I went back in. There were 9 people left in the parking lot. Any one of them could have just taken off and left.
Still, she says, she wishes she could have stayed longer to heal fully. Because to her dismay, after just 12 days, she was discharged.
I told them I wasn't ready to be discharged because I hadn't healed and because I still didn't feel that I was physically rehabilitated or was, you know, knowledgeable about using the equipment. And they felt that the criteria for me to leave was that I knew how to go to the bathroom on my own, how to dress myself on my own, and how to feed myself. So they just discharged me.
She says she learned recently that the decision to discharge her had been partly up to the facility's doctor.
And he told my daughter that we could appeal it, but I would lose.
So you appealed it anyway.
Well, I filed the paperwork, but nothing transpired, and they discharged me. So it didn't fly.
Young says she was sent home. She's very independent and uses the wheelchair to get around. But that has its limitations. She told me she spent a few days after her discharge having to travel to appointments, things like getting dressings changed on a burn wound she had and treating a laceration that she got while trying to maneuver through her house with a walker. She said while she was given a wheelchair to use at the nursing home, she wasn't taught how to use her own wheelchair, which she was sent home in. So one day,
the taxi that drove me home from the medical appointment dropped me off at the driveway. And from the driveway, I wasn't able to go uphill in towards the handrail. Not a steep hill, but a hill up nonetheless. And the chair was going backwards, and I didn't know how to stop the chair or where the brakes were to put them on. So I just got out of the chair and decided to slither across the sidewalk instead.
She told me she had to slide over to the steps leading up to her home, which she's usually able to scale by relying on the handrail. Young says none of that would have been necessary or happened at all if she'd been able to stay at the nursing home to recuperate. She took her case to the California department that licenses nursing homes, the local long-term care ombudsman, and the California Advocates for Nursing Home Reform.
I just hope that they investigate these facilities that this corporation owns and see to it that they straighten up.
I reached out to the facility, the Rehabilitation Center of Oakland, but they didn't respond to several requests for comment. I wasn't able to reach either of the management companies associated with the center. One of them has been the subject of multiple citations by state agencies and accused by the California Attorney General of being a serial violator of rules within the skilled nursing industry. Young's stay was shorter than average. Medicare, the government insurer for seniors, only fully covers 20 days of rehab care at a nursing home, and the average length of stay for rehab is just under a month. What she did is exactly what consumer advocates say nursing home patients and their families need to do. Speak up, file appeals, get help. Eric Carlson, an attorney with the senior advocacy group Justice in Aging, says the Nursing Home Reform Act of 1987 set out great standards to protect patients.
The requirements of the law are strong. What's missing is the compliance and the enforcement.
Watchdogs say one of the problems is the rise of nursing home chains. The nursing home where Lori Young stayed, for example, is allegedly owned by an organization whose facilities across the state have been repeatedly cited for violations of health department policies. But it continues to operate dozens of facilities around the state, which the health department regulates. I asked the department if it ever takes enforcement actions against operators of multiple facilities. A spokesperson wrote that enforcement actions are facility-specific. They happen as a result of investigations, which are driven by complaints, incidents, or department surveys. Carlson, the lawyer with Justice in Aging, says that at the federal level, there's a problematic relationship between enforcers and operators.
The federal government, the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services, has put out written documents that talk about the nursing facilities, for example, as the clients of the agency.
That's backwards, Carlson suggests. Oversight bodies should serve patients, not providers.
It's troubling because the people in the system who need the most protection are the consumers, and they need to be the focus of the regulatory agency.
In California, for example, Politico reported last year that Dr. Karen Smith, then director of the California Department of Public Health, had a financial stake in a publicly traded nursing home company through a family trust. that department is responsible for enforcing nursing home regulations. A spokesperson said Dr. Smith is no longer with the department, but didn't specify why. Carlson says it's going to take a collective realization that the problem is much bigger than any one horror story.
That's always the inclination. That people are drawn to the horror stories.
He says the problem isn't just a few rogue actors.
It's more about the rottenness of the entire system, or the weakness of the entire system, as opposed to a couple of really malicious bad apples.
And it's growing increasingly urgent to fix the system. California's senior population is expected to nearly double in about a decade. State Assembly member Jim Wood, who represents a stretch of California's northern coastline, says seniors need a champion, and he wants to take on that role. Wood says he sees programs for seniors being cut rather than supported. Last year, he remembers meeting with a senior group, talking about the Meals on Wheels program.
And they were talking about the fact that these seniors get these meals 5 days a week, but because of budget issues, they were going to have to cut it down to 4 days a week. And I'm like, gosh, you know, these meals don't cost that much money. Why is this so difficult to do? The economy is booming, and we're going to take a meal away from a senior 1 day a week. I'm sorry, that just felt really unfair. And so that was one of the things that really motivated me to start looking at other ways to help, especially our low-income seniors who just don't have a voice right now.
Assemblymember Wood has put forward a few different legislative packages related to senior care and nursing homes. Last year, Governor Brown signed his law requiring owners of long-term care facilities to report how they use what's called related party businesses. Critics call this self-dealing or insider transactions.
So you may have a company that owns the buildings and leases them to the facility. You may have a company that is the laundry service or the food service, but they're all really tied to the same person.
Starting next year, the law will allow the Office of Statewide Health Planning and Development to scrutinize how a facility is managing to pull in lots of money. But Wood says the real power the state has in this case is not legislation, but rather controlling the purse strings. He says a lot of programs for seniors haven't even gotten their pre-recession levels of funding.
And that's not a great reflection of how we take care of our vulnerable populations.
Lower levels of care than a nursing home, like home care or residential facilities, can cost thousands per month. But subsidies can be more limited. In fact, state Medicaid programs, Medi-Cal here, are obligated to provide nursing facility services to those who need them and can't limit access or make it subject to waiting lists. But the state can do that for home or community-based services. Wood brought up the Multipurpose Senior Services Program, which serves a maximum of 12,000 seniors at a time who would otherwise need a nursing facility.
The program gives them home-delivered meals, it helps with transportation and some of the hygiene and daily activities, and even some counseling and adult daycare. And the investment in this program, you know, saves people from having to go to nursing homes. And by extension, because they're so low income, it saves the state a huge amount of money because the cost of care in nursing homes is so much higher. Yet it's really difficult to squeeze the dollars out for a program like this.
Investing in supportive services for elders, Wood says, is important for seniors, but also just makes more financial sense than incentivizing expensive nursing home stays by failing to support other kinds of care.
It's mind-boggling that we do what I call a lot of activities that are penny-wise and pound-foolish.
Since we talked, Lori Young has been able to start walking with a walker or cane. She recently performed a song, Bluesette, at the Senior Theater Company stage bridge. She says it brings back memories of performing it when she was younger, sweeter, more innocent. She learned it in 1964. Young's stay in a nursing home was short, shorter than she'd like. But she says she feels bad for people who have to stay for long stretches in substandard care.
Maybe they just don't know. Maybe they don't have any idea how awful it is to have to live out the rest of your life that way, to be neglected. I mean, it's like, you know, what kind of life is that?
That at least may be changing. When he took office, Governor Gavin Newsom called for a master plan on aging. He's now signed an executive order calling for its creation with a deadline of October 2020. Among his priorities, addressing the state's shortage of in-home services and nursing care, and making sure that care is person-centered. In San Francisco, I'm Laura Wenis for Cross Currents.
That story is the last in a series Laura reported on accessing nursing home care in California. Find all three stories at kalw.org. This reporting was produced as part of the USC Center for Health Journalism's California Fellowship. You're listening to Cross Currents from KALW News. I'm Ben Trefney in for Hana Baba. After hearing Laura's series, we wanted to dig a little deeper into the problems and solutions for the nursing care industry. And for that, we reached out to Patricia McGinnis. She co-founded California Advocates for Nursing Home Reform back in 1983, and she currently serves as its executive director. I met up with her at her San Francisco office.
If you were to assess a condition to nursing care facilities and supported care like that, how would you say it is in California?
I think we have the worst care we've had since I started this organization and the worst enforcement system and regulatory system right now.
What makes you say that?
Well, on two levels. One, at the state level, we have a Department of Public Health that has been really out to lunch in terms of enforcing the law and regulating the facilities as they should be. We have more complaints now that are outstanding than we've had in years. We have probably 15,000 complaints, and the average response time is over a year. One of the other problems is when the department does get out there, oftentimes the resident is dead or gone, or the witnesses are all gone. So we have a very, very big problem at the Department of Public Health, the oversight in this state.
Why do you think that is?
I think because there's too much influence by the nursing home industry in Sacramento. There has been for quite a while now, and it continues, and it certainly continues to permeate the Department of Public Health. One of the other issues is that nursing homes in California get $5 to $6 billion a year in funding, taxpayer money and Medi-Cal money, and they're always saying, give us more money, we'll do a better job. Give us more money, we'll provide better care. They don't. We keep throwing money at them. We don't do anything else to make sure that they can comply with decent standards. We're not even saying you don't have to have crystal chandeliers or beautiful service, but you need to have adequate staffing. You need to have adequate food. You need to have adequate supervision. And I'd say there are very, very few nursing homes in this state that provide that.
Well, I want to get to some of the reforms that are possibly underway at the government level, and then also the things that you would like to see done. But first, I want to talk about some scandalous information that's come out recently around Laguna Honda, which is a large facility in central San Francisco. Can you tell me what was found there? Like, who exactly is that place serving? And then what was found recently?
Well, what was found recently that over a period of 3 years from 2016 to 2019, there was rampant systemic abuse of residents in this one part of the facility, in the dementia part of this of Laguna Honda. The problem that I look at, and I think that it is just untenable, that something like this could go on for 3 years. Some of these people were sent to the acute care hospitals. Emergency doctors saw them. In one case, reading their 2567s, their investigation report from the department, in one case, the doctor said he's not going to send this person back into that nursing home, into Laguna Honda, because she was so overdrugged, they were killing her. I mean, horrible instances of abuse and neglect. That's one. It's not unusual, but to see it at that extent, And if you have something like that going on in one part of the hospital, obviously you need administrators for every single part of it. You need to break it down. You have to do something to be able to make it smaller in this, not the facility, because we need the beds, but to make these this pieces smaller so that they can get the appropriate oversight. Laguna Honda had a history of paying their workers more because they were unionized and they were also part of the city and county of San Francisco. So I don't know if it's just the wages, or the poor working conditions, they not have enough staff. I look at the situation in San Francisco, it's very hard to hire people. Who wants to come to San Francisco, even if you're getting paid $20 an hour? Who can work? You can't support yourself on that in San Francisco and pay rent and do all of that. I think that's one of the major problems is the fact if Laguna Honda were someplace else, you'd probably be able to, and paid the same kind of wages and benefits, you'd probably be able to get better staff. In other freestanding nursing homes, that's the first thing they cut. If a company takes over a nursing home, they cut staff. So there's never enough staff. There's never enough training. There's people, I know nurses aides who work double shifts just so that they can afford to feed their children. So there are horrible working conditions. They have one of the highest back injury rates of any occupation in the country. So it's very, very difficult, yes. And I'm sure that that had something to do with it. But there are a lot of other factors, too. I think they probably can't get enough staff there either.
So if you were able to reform this industry the way the aging people are treated, what would you do overall? Like, you could start from blank slate, essentially.
Well, first of all, I'd take the profit motive out of the nursing home industry. You cannot have for-profit nursing homes and expect decent care. It's not going to happen. It doesn't happen. Laguna Honda, unfortunately, is a non-profit nursing home. For the most part, I think that people really love Laguna Honda, and they cry to get in, and they have a long waiting list. What I hope that's just an anomaly of what happened there. But for the most part, for-profit nursing homes just should not, we shouldn't have a for-profit healthcare system. It doesn't work because you're always going to be answerable to your investors and to your own pocket and not to the residents that you're serving. So to make that kind of money, and it's billions of dollars, to make that kind of money off the suffering of old, sick, or disabled individuals, I think is awful.
So in the time that you've been doing this, like what gives you hope? What have you seen, say, improved in nursing care?
Well, I'm trying to think. In California, I mean, I look at other countries. For example, I spent some time in Japan, and we were asked to come over to look at some of their facilities. They have a long-term care insurance system so that you pay into the system, and when you get old or need care, if you have dementia or something, they will help you provide care so that you don't have to lose everything you have. I look at Washington, or Washington in particular, is at least flirting with a long-term care insurance system. I would like to see something like that. I think that that's what we need. We have an aging population in this country that is, you know, exploding, and we do in California as well. We have no systems in place to take care of that. I have been to more workshops and what are we going to do about our aging population and the, you know, the silver tsunami and all of that for the last 20 years. It's not like we didn't know this was coming. Waiting for these alternatives and hoping and working with them, hoping that we would get some alternatives in place. Some kind of a long-term care insurance system. Most people would be more than happy to pay into something like that. But we don't. We don't have anything, and I don't know that anything like that is on the horizon.
Patricia McGinnis is Executive Director of California Advocates for Nursing Home Reform. You can learn more about the organization and connect with them yourself. Find a link at kalw.org. That's also where you can subscribe to our weekly newsletter. Just click on the Cross Currents tab. Tune in tomorrow at 5. We'll take you inside the Battle for People's Park in Berkeley.
It was an effort that brought together all kinds of people in Berkeley, the Quakers and pacifists and Marxists and Stalinists and street people, professors.
Finding safe spaces for people without homes. That's tomorrow at 5 on Cross Currents. Now, let's listen to a local band. This is Wizard Apprentice from Oakland. They're performing at the Sound of Visibility. That's a benefit for the Trans Law Center. The show is at Bandcamp in Oakland Friday night.
I beg it to leave. Beg it to take my side, but I cannot allow it. I cannot allow it. I cannot allow it.
The Cross Currents team includes Janae Darden, Imran Ali Malik, Lisa Morehouse, Marissa Ortega-Welch, Truk Nguyen, Joshua Sorodiak, and Alice Wolfley. Our engineers are James Rollins, Tarek Foda, and Gabe Graben. Content manager is Shireen Adel. Our managing editor is David Boyer. Deputy news director is Angela Johnston. And our opening theme music is by the John Santos Quintet. For Cross Currents, I'm Ben Trefney.